Welcome to High Strangeness, where we ask questions and explore all that is strange and unexpected in our reality.
Welcome to High Strangeness. My name is Tony, and in today's episode, we're going to take a look at a 20-year period in the mid-1900s where UFOs were showing up everywhere. So, let's get started right now at 1946. In the aftermath of the Second World War, sightings were made of flying objects resembling German V-2 rockets. This happened in Scandinavia and other parts of Eastern Europe. British intelligence feared that these ghost rockets were being launched from Russia, but French scientific advisors tried to influence everybody that they believed these sightings were just merely daylight meteors. In 1946, and in the United States, we saw these. As the Cold War began, the first wave of flying saucer sightings started to grip the USA and quickly spread across the whole world. In September, the US Army Air Force launched their first official inquiry into UFOs. There was a Lieutenant Nathan Twining, and in his review of all this, he decided and claimed that this was something real and not just some visionary or fictitious thing. Then we go into 1947, and probably everybody knows about Roswell, New Mexico. In July 1947, what happened was there was your crash of a UFO out in the middle of New Mexico. There was a rancher who had seen this, investigated it, and then somehow the military was either notified or came aboard, and they started kind of locking down the area and making sure nobody could get near the crash. Now, after this, they basically, the military that is, made the claim right away that they did capture a downed flying saucer. But over time, that story changed. Over a short time, like within a day or two, then over some time, within the next day or two, they changed the story and said it was nothing more than a balloon that had crashed. Now, 1948, on this year, there was actually the loss of a life that may have been caused by a UFO. Kentucky Air Force Captain Thomas F. Mantell died in 1948 while pursuing a UFO while flying a fighter plane. Mantell had described the incident to the tower crew as a very large metallic object. He said the object was above and ahead of him, moving at a fast speed. Then communication broke off and Mantell ended up crashing to his death. In 1952, about Washington, D.C., U.S. fighter jets were scrambled to investigate the UFOs that were seen on radar over Washington, D.C. In July 19, 1952, an air traffic controller was at his radar screen at Washington National Airport in D.C. when he saw seven unusual blips on the screen. No known aircraft were in the area, and there was no explanation for the presence of the objects. He talked to his supervisor, and together they watched the mysterious objects dart across the sky. They then called nearby Andrews Air Force Base, where controllers also saw strange objects on their radar screen. Now, 1953, as fears of the Cold War and nuclear confrontation grew, the CIA sought to convene a panel of scientists to secretly review the UFO evidence and make recommendations for actions. Also, at this time, in Britain, the Air Ministry also set up its own UFO investigation unit. Now, 1955, the Kelly-Hopkinsville encounter. On the evening of August 21st, 1955, five adults and seven children arrived at the Hopkinsville police station claiming that small alien creatures from a spaceship were attacking their farmhouse. Apparently, they had been holding them off with gunfire for almost 4 hours. Two of the adults, Elmer Sutton and Billy Taylor, claimed they had been shooting at 12 to 15 short, dark figures who kept popping up at the doorway or looking in the windows. This is how they looked, according to them. Now, 1957, it was an interesting year. The Soviet Union sort of won the race against the Americans to travel into space with the launch of the Sputnik. At this time, in Britain, UFOs are also tracked on radar, and aircraft were scrambled to intercept, sparking questions in the House of Commons as well as newspaper headlines. Then we have 1961, the Betty and Barney Hill abduction. Barney is a U.S. postal worker and Betty was a social worker. They were newly married and they had just had a wonderful time on their honeymoon in Niagara Falls. While there, they worried that the weather was going to be bad one evening, so they decided to head home. And on that travel home, it was at that time on September 1961 that Betty and Barney Hill claimed to have been abducted by aliens. One of the issues they had lost some time from that experience, and they did claim that they were abducted. In the years following, they were also put under hypnosis, and they were able to remember some troubling details. Now, this was the first big publicized abduction story that would actually get national recognition for UFOs. Now, there's a lot to this story, and if you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to take a little time and look into it. There are pretty good documentaries out there. There's even one by Discovery Plus that will kind of walk you through everything that happened and give you some inside details and even play portions of the interview that they had with Betty and Barney and even some hypnosis audio recordings. Now in 1964, we have the Lonnie Zamora incident. This is in Loma, Colorado, Friday, April 24th, 1964. Socorro Police Officer Lonnie Zamora reported having a close encounter with an unidentified craft on Friday. This UFO case is one of the most famous and best documented. Zamora had claimed he saw two people inside a shiny object that later rose into the air accompanied by a flaming roar. 1965, the Valensole UFO incident in France. In Valensole, a farmer spotted what he thought was a helicopter that landed in his lavender field. He was annoyed by that, of course, and approached it, only to find out that it was an oval-shaped object resting on four legs. He claimed that in front of it stood two figures, not quite 4 feet tall, dressed in tight gray-green clothes. Their heads were oversized and with a sharp chin. Their eyes were large and slanted, and they were making a grumbling sound. One of them pointed a pencil-like object to him at him, and he was paralyzed where he stood. When he regained his mobility, the object had already flown off. In 1966, Westall High School in Australia, and here there were multiple UFOs that were reported and seen. Check out this short news story that was done by the Channel 7 News in Australia in 2021.
A teacher who claimed to see UFOs hovering over a Melbourne school says military officials threatened to have him fired if he ever spoke about the incident. Andrew Greenwood is talking publicly about the famous Westall High sightings 55 years ago for the first time in tonight's 7 News Spotlight program.
Now an ordinary suburban school, but in 1966, Westall High students and teachers insist they saw UFOs triggering a massive government cover-up.
They were threatening
you? Oh, absolutely. I was threatened.
Then a Westall teacher, Andrew Greenwood, speaks publicly for the first time to Spotlight.
Mr Greenwood, there's a flying saucer.
On the Oval, he and 200 students saw three of them.
It was a grey, almost cylindrical or cigar-shaped object.
All these years later, the students draw what they witnessed. They claim one landed in a park, then took off.
I could feel a heat and hear this buzzing sound, and I could see purple lights all around it.
Now, close to that landing area is a popular UFO-themed children's playground, but at the time, within 40 minutes, this area was swarming with military officials who warned witnesses never to tell anyone what they'd seen. they menaced the teacher at home.
They told me that I was wrong, that I hadn't seen anything.
And if he spoke up?
Clearly you were drunk on duty, and that will have to be reported to the education department, and of course you'll lose your job.
An official report into Westall just disappeared.
And that is what I find most interesting of all, that I was definitely being told to be quiet.
Nick McCallum, 7 News.
So there you go. That was some interesting stuff. I hope you enjoyed it. Once again, in this short video, what we did is we looked at some of the more interesting UFO sightings and events from the years of 1946 through 1966. Now, that kind of wraps up what we have for this short video. So as I close here, I just want to end by saying what I always say, which is, remember, there's a lot of strange and unexpected out there. Keep your eyes, ears, and minds open. And until next time, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to High Strangeness. This was a glance at some of the strange that exists in our reality.